Hello, and welcome to your OCR GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics on the specification, sound waves, topic 5.3. Whether you're revising for your foundation or higher tier paper, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam with confidence. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Sound is everywhere. Right now, sound waves are traveling through the air from your speaker or headphones directly to your eardrums. But what exactly is a sound wave? And why does OCR care so much about how you describe it? That's exactly what we're going to unpack today. Let's begin with the most fundamental concept. What type of wave is sound? Sound is a longitudinal wave. Now, I want you to really understand what that means, because this comes up again and again in exam questions. In a longitudinal wave, the particles of the medium oscillate, that means vibrate back and forth, parallel to the direction in which the wave is traveling. Parallel, same direction, this is the key distinction that earns you marks. Compare this to a transverse wave, like a wave on a rope, where the particles move perpendicular, at right angles, to the direction of travel. Sound is not transverse, sound is longitudinal. Now, here's a common mistake that costs students marks every single year. Students write that air particles travel from the source to the receiver. That is incorrect. The air particles do not travel anywhere. They oscillate, they move back and forth around a fixed position. What travels is the energy. The wave transfers energy from the source to the receiver, but the medium itself, the air, stays roughly in place. Think of it like a Mexican wave in a stadium. The people don't move around the stadium, they just stand up and sit down. But the wave travels all the way around. That's exactly how sound works. So how do these oscillations create a sound wave? When a speaker cone vibrates, it pushes the air molecules in front of it. When it pushes forward, it squashes the air molecules together, creating a region of high pressure. We call this a compression. When the speaker cone pulls back, it creates a region where the air molecules are spread further apart, a region of low pressure. We call this a rarefaction. So a sound wave is a series of alternating compressions and rarefactions traveling through a medium. Compressions are high pressure, high density regions. Rarefactions are low pressure, low density regions. Now, this is really important for your exam. Never use the words peaks and troughs when describing sound waves. Peaks and troughs apply to transverse waves. For sound, you must use compressions and rarefactions. Examiners will not award marks if you use transverse wave terminology to describe a longitudinal wave. Let's move on to the properties of sound waves: amplitude, frequency, and wavelength. The amplitude of a sound wave is the maximum displacement of a particle from its equilibrium position. In practical terms, a larger amplitude means a louder sound. More energy is being transferred. When you turn up the volume on your music, you're increasing the amplitude of the sound waves. The frequency of a sound wave is the number of complete oscillations per second, measured in hertz or hertz. A higher frequency means a higher pitched sound. Think of a piccolo flute versus a bass guitar. The piccolo produces high frequency, high pitched sounds. The bass guitar produces low frequency, low pitched sounds. Wavelength is the distance between two adjacent compressions or two adjacent rarefactions. It's the length of one complete wave cycle. Now here's a critical distinction that examiners test directly. Amplitude affects loudness and frequency affects pitch. Do not mix these up. Changing the amplitude does not change the pitch. Changing the frequency does not change the loudness. They are independent properties. The human ear can detect sounds with frequencies between approximately 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz. This is called the audible range. Any sound with a frequency above 20,000 hertz is called ultrasound. Any sound below 20 hertz is called infrasound. Now let's talk about the wave equation, because this is where the maths comes in, and OCR loves to test this. The wave equation is wave speed equals frequency multiplied by wavelength. In symbols, V equals F times lambda, where V is the wave speed in meters per second, F is the frequency in hertz, and lambda is the wavelength in meters. This equation is given on the OCR formula sheet, so you don't need to memorize it, but you absolutely must know how to use it and rearrange it. Let me give you an example. Suppose a sound wave has a frequency of 440 hertz and a wavelength of 0.75 meters. What is the wave speed? Simple. V equals 440 multiplied by 0.75, which gives 330 meters per second. That's approximately the speed of sound in air at room temperature. Nice. Now, what if you're given the speed and the frequency and asked for the wavelength? Rearrange lambda equals V divided by F. So if the speed is 1,500 meters per second, which is the speed of sound in water, and the frequency is 50,000 hertz, the wavelength is 1,500 divided by 50,000, which equals 0.03 meters, or 3 centimeters. Watch out for unit conversions here. If a frequency is given in kilohertz, you must convert it to hertz before substituting into the equation. 1 kilohertz equals 1,000 hertz. So 50 kilohertz equals 50,000 hertz. Failing to convert units is one of the most common errors in calculation questions. Sound can travel through solids, liquids, and gases, but it cannot travel through a vacuum. This is because sound requires a medium, particles, to vibrate and pass on the wave. There are no particles in a vacuum, so sound cannot propagate. This is why space is silent. Light can travel through a vacuum because it's an electromagnetic wave and doesn't need a medium. Sound cannot. The speed of sound varies depending on the medium. In air at room temperature, sound travels at approximately 330 to 340 meters per second. In water, it travels at about 1,500 meters per second. In steel, it can travel at over 5,000 meters per second. The denser and more rigid the medium, the faster sound travels. This is because the particles are closer together and can pass on vibrations more quickly. Now let's turn to one of the most exam-relevant applications of sound, echo and sonar calculations. An echo is simply the reflection of a sound wave off a surface. When a sound pulse is emitted, it travels to a reflective surface, bounces back, and returns to the source. The total time measured is the time for the round trip, there and back. This is where the most common calculation error occurs. The question gives you the total time for the echo to return, but you want the distance to the reflective surface, which is only half the total distance traveled, so you must have the time, or equivalently, have the total distance. The formula is distance equals speed multiplied by time divided by 2, or, equivalently, 2 times distance equals speed multiplied by time. Let me walk you through a worked example. A ship uses sonar to measure the depth of the ocean. A sound pulse is emitted and the echo returns after 0.6 seconds. The speed of sound in seawater is 1,500 meters per second. Calculate the depth of the ocean. Step 1. Identify the formula. Distance equals speed multiplied by time divided by 2. Step 2. Substitute values. Distance equals 1,500 multiplied by 0.6 divided by 2. Step 3. Calculate. 1,500 times 0.6 equals 900. Divided by 2 equals 450 meters. The depth of the ocean is 450 meters. Notice that if you forgot to divide by 2, you'd get 900 meters. Double the correct answer. That's the exam trap. Always ask yourself, is this time for a one-way trip or a return journey? Now let's move on to ultrasound and its applications, which is a key higher tier topic, but also appears at foundation level in a descriptive context. Ultrasound is sound with a frequency above 20,000 hertz, above the upper limit of human hearing. It has a wide range of practical applications, and OCR expects you to understand the mechanism behind them, not just list them. In medical imaging, an ultrasound transducer emits a pulse of high frequency sound into the body. When this pulse reaches a boundary between two different types of tissue, say between muscle and bone, or between fluid and soft tissue, part of the pulse is reflected back to the transducer, and part continues deeper into the body. This partial reflection at a boundary between two different media is the key mechanism you must describe. The transducer detects the reflected pulses and records the time delay between emission and detection. Using the formula distance equals speed times time divided by 2, the machine calculates how deep each boundary is. By building up many such measurements, it constructs a two-dimensional image of internal structures. Ultrasound imaging is particularly useful for monitoring fetal development during pregnancy because it does not use ionizing radiation. Unlike X-rays, ultrasound is considered safe for use on developing babies and on soft tissue generally. Ultrasound is also used in industry for quality control, detecting cracks or flaws inside metal components without having to cut them open. The same principle applies. A pulse is emitted, and any unexpected reflection indicates a flaw. Now let me give you the exam technique section because this is where we turn knowledge into marks. The most important thing to understand about OCR physics papers is the command words. Let's go through the key ones for this topic. If a question says state or give, you need a brief, factual answer. No explanation required. For example, state what type of wave sound is. Answer: longitudinal. That's it. One word, one mark. If a question says describe, you need to say what happens or what something looks like using correct scientific terminology. For example, describe how a sound wave is produced by a loudspeaker. You'd say, the speaker cone vibrates, pushing air molecules together to form compressions and pulling them apart to form rarefactions, producing a longitudinal wave. If a question says, explain, you must say how or why. Use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, explain why sound cannot travel through a vacuum. Answer: sound is a mechanical wave that requires particles to vibrate. A vacuum contains no particles, so the wave cannot be transmitted. If a question says calculate, you must show you're working, state the formula, substitute values with units, and give the final answer with correct units. Even if you make an arithmetic error, you can still earn marks for correct method, but only if your working is shown. Now, let me highlight the most common mistakes I see candidates make on this topic. Mistake number one, describing particle motion incorrectly. Students write that particles travel from the source to the receiver. They don't. Particles oscillate about a fixed position. Energy travels. Mistake number two, forgetting to have the time in echo calculations. This is the single most common numerical error on this topic. When you see a sonar or echo question, immediately ask, is this the total time or the one-way time? If it's total, divide by two. Mistake number three, using transverse wave language for sound. Peaks, troughs, crests, these are for transverse waves. For sound, use compressions and rarefactions. Mistake number four, confusing amplitude and frequency. Amplitude affects loudness. Frequency affects pitch. A common wrong answer is to say that a louder sound has a higher frequency. It doesn't. A louder sound has a larger amplitude. Mistake number five, unit conversion errors. If frequency is given in kilohertz, convert to hertz before calculating. If time is given in milliseconds, convert to seconds. Always check your units before substituting. Now, let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Cover your notes if you can. Question one, what type of wave is sound? Think. The answer is longitudinal. Question two, what is the term for a region of high pressure in a sound wave? Think. The answer is compression. Question three, what is the term for a region of low pressure in a sound wave? Think. The answer is rarefaction. Question four, what is the upper frequency limit of human hearing? Think. The answer is 20,000 hertz or 20 kilohertz. Question five, a sound pulse takes 0.4 seconds to travel to a wall and back. The speed of sound is 340 meters per second. What is the distance to the wall? Think. The answer is distance equals 340 times 0.4 divided by 2, which equals 68 meters. Question six, does increasing the amplitude of a sound wave increase its pitch or its loudness? Think. The answer is loudness. Amplitude affects loudness, not pitch. Question seven, can sound travel through a vacuum? Think. The answer is no. Sound requires a medium to travel through. Question eight, what property of a sound wave determines its pitch? Think. The answer is frequency. How did you do? If you got all eight, you're in excellent shape. If you missed a few, go back and review those specific concepts. Let's finish with a summary of the key points you absolutely must know for your OCR exam. One, sound is a longitudinal wave. Particles oscillate parallel to the direction of energy transfer. The particles do not travel. They oscillate about a fixed position. Two, compressions are regions of high pressure and high density. Rarefactions are regions of low pressure and low density. Three, the wave equation is V equals F times lambda. Speed in meters per second, frequency in hertz, wavelength in meters. Always check units before calculating. Four, amplitude determines loudness. Frequency determines pitch. Do not mix these up. Five, the human audible range is 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Ultrasound is above 20,000 hertz. Six, In echo and sonar calculations, the time given is usually the total return time. Always divide by 2 to get the one-way distance. 7. Ultrasound imaging works by partial reflection at boundaries between different media. The time delay is used to calculate depth. 8. Sound cannot travel through a vacuum. It requires a medium. That's everything for today's episode on sound waves. You've covered the core concepts, the key calculations, the exam technique, and tested yourself with the recall quiz. You are ready. Good luck in your exam. I know you're going to do brilliantly. See you in the next episode.